I'm also greeting you this morning all in the name of the Lord, and I wish you God's blessing. I'm thankful to God with all my heart for His grace which He has given unto us, that we could recognize the day and the message. Not only recognizing, but believing, because the Lord revealed it to us. May the Lord have His way also this morning in our midst. And may He reach all our hearts and bless us and giving us what He has promised unto us. Before we pray together, I read a word from the book of Acts. A very well-known word. Acts chapter 4. From verse 24. Here it says, "And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, who hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them." Praise and thanks. The church at the beginning in Jerusalem, that's how we read, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Praise and thanks. Not an accord which a man can create, but a unity worked by the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Ghost succeed this morning to bring us into one accord, to lift up our voice to God with one accord and to pray, Lord, You are the one who has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Praise and thanks. That's how it is. He created all things. He holds all things in His hand. Let us continue with verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word. Amen. Is this not our prayer? That He gives strength to our brother this morning, that He with all boldness may preach unto us God's holy word. By stretching forth Thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by Thy name of Thy holy servant Jesus. Is this not our wish? Is this not our prayer this morning? Is this not also the promise of our Lord? Stretch forth Thine hand to heal. We are a needy people. We need the help of the Lord also this morning. And the Lord is present. We believe it because it's written. And we believe the scripture, whatever the Lord promised, this He's doing also this morning. And now the answer. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all, here it says, all, brothers and sisters, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Without fear. Without fear. But worked by the Holy Spirit in His power. Don't we want to experience this? This was at the beginning. We are living now at the end. And the end must be exactly as the beginning was. We are gathered here this morning as the people of God. Let us stand up. Let us lift up our voices to God with one accord, asking for His blessing. Blessed Heavenly Father, we are lifting up our voice to you with one accord, and we thank you. You are the Lord, our God. You created the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in it, the visible and the invisible things, everything you created. And for this we are thanking you, and we glorify your name, and we ask you together this morning, shake our hearts, shake this place, come down in our midst by your Holy Spirit, and do what you have prepared for us this morning. Stretch forth thine hand for it, and give healings, and let signs and wonders happen in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the glory of your name. We are thanking you and we are praising you for what you will do this morning in our midst. Lord, all of us, we need you. We are needy. Lord, if there is sickness, please heal. If there is a bondage, please deliver. And if there are lost people amongst us, then Lord, save them. Come to your right this morning with all of us. I ask it in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
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 Amen. Amen. You may be seated. What shall I say? In me is the wish very loud and great. Lord, give me the day where I can preach the word in the church until all are filled with the Holy Ghost. We have heard it. The whole assembly, the whole church was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then it happened. You belong to it. Not only the preacher, the whole church must be filled with the Holy Ghost. God will give it to us by His grace. Also today, we are welcoming all of you from near and far, from all over Europe and other countries. We have greetings via telephone from Gabon, from Uganda, from Moscow, from Karaganda, from Ottawa, Canada, email from Germany also, yeah, very good, very nice. Then from Brother Lukram, from Myanmar, Burma. Then we have greetings once again from Moscow. Greetings from the Ivory Coast. Greetings from Lyon. Greetings from Poland. Greetings once again from Lyon. From La Paz, Bolivia. Last night, they, for the first time, they were tuned in. The brother, Bautista, he was with me in the meetings which we had just now in the city of Asunción. He translated me from the English into the Spanish language. Last night, I didn't report you about it, but it was really mighty. Probably it happened for the first time that the meeting was interrupting me, and the people were standing up, raising their hands, and praising God for the word which they heard. And then they were sitting down again, and it continued. Well, once suddenly they stood up again, and spontaneously they were praising the Lord. It was just mighty. And the most wonderful experience was when at the end of the sermon I called the young people to dedicate their lives to the Lord. Then really more than 100 young people stood up and were raising their hands and were consecrating their lives to the Lord. It was really a victory for the truth. Also the other meetings, be it in Arequipa in particular, where I was for the first time, the word of the Lord found entrance there, and the people were acquainted with what God also did after the going home of Brother Branham. We all know, after the ministry of John the Baptist, it continued. And after the ministry of our Lord, it also continued. And after Peter and James and John did their ministry, there was a Paul. And after Paul finished his ministry, there was a John on the Isle of Patmos to get the final revelations. And it went forth. Even since the day of Reformation, there was one revival after the other, and it continued and continued. And after the Second World War, it also continued, when all of Europe was demolished in rubble. And the resolution was made that Israel has a right to have a home, to become a nation. And then Brother Branham said, on the same day when this resolution in May 1946 was made, it was in Los Angeles, at the West Coast, the angel of the Lord came to Brother Branham and commissioned him to carry the message. And firstly, to receive the gift of divine healing, to draw the attention of the people to that what God has to say to us in this time. Then we have here, from last night, we have the report altogether, 796 computers were connected all over the earth. Here all the countries are listed and how many were connected. And to these countries belong Morocco. And all these countries are listed who are joining to hear the word of God from one end of the earth to the other. Here 55 countries are listed. Altogether, it's exactly 88 countries who were already connected in the previous times to hear the clear and revealed and promised word for this time. We are just grateful and once again grateful for the opportunity and also for the equipment, for the technical equipment which God gives us in this time. That we not only can fly to reach and visit the several countries, but someday we can remain at home and nevertheless all the nations can be reached with the divine message. There is an announcement to be made. If God gives grace, I will still make a trip now starting on Wednesday, and in 12 days I will return, and this time it goes to the Far East via the Philippines up to Hong Kong to carry the word of the hour, the word of truth. And then there would be an announcement to be made that on Good Friday, the 22nd of April, we will be in the city of Böblingen. Böblingen is close to Stuttgart. On Saturday, the 23rd of April, we will be, God willing, in the city of Salzburg. On Sunday, the 24th of April, in Zurich. And if God gives grace, we'll, after our Israel trip, which will be from the 2nd to the 13th of May, on the following weekend, after many years, we will have one or two meetings in Poland, not far from the Czech border. And we are just inviting, as I just said, we are grateful to the Lord, grateful that He has opened now our eyes, that He revealed Himself and that He revealed His Holy Word. When Brother Alfred Borg read to us the word of introduction, and this in the right way, brothers, brethren, Anita and Alfred Borg, they are of the first who were present when I translated the first sermon of Brother Branham from the English to the German language in December 1959. In Rather Street 325. He was present. I don't forget it. Despite of my weak memory, God just, He had brothers and sisters from the very beginning whom He could open the understanding for the Scripture. And to stand firm in all the trials which came along our way. God bless you all who you were part of it from the very beginning. God bless all who in the course of time were also added. And we are just asking in the various languages, please be patient with us. We are thanking God for the translators. And in as much as I know, all are satisfied with the translations into the French, into the Spanish, into the Russian, into all the various languages. It's being translated. And our brothers, they found grace in the sight of God, that they are in the same spirit, doing the translations faithfully. Then there would be an announcement to be made that already now more than 5,000 copies in all the different languages every month we are sending into all the world, into all these nations. We are sending them out. Not only not only that 796 computers were connected, more than 5,000 copies, DVDs and CDs, what have you, are being sent out every month into all the world. And also for this, we are grateful to God that He took care for everything. And up to now, we never mentioned money at all. This was my vow. This was my covenant with God. When I returned 1966, and I knew that now the message must be carried into all the world. I told the Lord a couple of things, especially three things. And one of these three was, "Dear Lord, take care for your work, for I will not mention money at all." And that's how it happened in all these years. I'm grateful to God. There was always sufficient, and there was even some money left. So that we can now help all the brothers worldwide. We can help them. That they can buy all the equipment which are necessary to join us online, live. Just, it was led by God in such a way, without my doing. Then last night, we heard of the love. And we all know what Paul has written in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it was not a coincidence that Mr. Ludwig Schneider, in his last edition in this Israel magazine, he wrote about the love. And also we last Friday, a week ago, we heard about the love. Let me just read you something. What Ludwig Schneider, the famous man in Jerusalem, who is internationally known, who knows his way around in politics and economy, and also in the religion, he knows. Sadly, he doesn't know about the plan of salvation yet. But what is not yet can still come. He writes here the following. Duty without love. Oh my, these are words. Responsibility without love. Right without love makes hard. Truth without love makes you a critic. Raising children without love makes rebellious. Friendship without love makes you hypocritical. Education without love makes you puffed up. Power without love makes you violent. Honor without love makes arrogant. Possession without love makes you greedy. Faith without love makes you fanatic. But nothing and nobody, to love nothing and nobody is hell on earth. To love nothing and to love no one is hell on earth. Then, in this similar letter, which was read to us at a wedding, a life without love is useless. Duty without love, responsibility without love, righteousness without love makes hard. To be wise without love, friendship without love hypocrisy. Order without love, honor without love makes you puffed up. Possession without love makes greedy. Faith without love makes fanatic. Wisdom without love makes you puffed up. Truth without love makes you to know it all. Devotion without love makes egoistic. And then comes again the kernel sentence, a life without love makes godless. A life without love was not worth to be lived. Brothers and sisters, we time and again heard it. Everything will cease. The gift of prophecy, all the gifts, everything, one day in the completion, will end up in the completion. But love, the love of God, which was manifested on the cross of Calvary, for God so much loved the world. This love of God was poured out into all the redeemed by the Holy Spirit. And so, now it's really important that not only doctrinally and about knowledge, but that everything is just embedded in the divine love, but always in the Word. Love toward the Word. Therefore it says, because they loved not the truth, therefore God had sent them strong delusions. So, the love toward God is the love for the truth. And the truth is and remains God's Word. The next thought, brothers and sisters, who we are gathered here and all those who are listening, is the following. That the love unites. And that God, according to Ephesians 4 in particular, from verse 11, has set the ministries into the church for the edification, so that everything can be built up upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, where Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. And this build up must just take place. And we are reading it, the words, as they were left to us. And then we will also read what those are doing who were not set by God. Here it says in Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 12. Ephesians 4, from verse 12. Perhaps we read verse 11 also. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And for what? It's written in the next verse and in the following. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. As we heard it in the word of introduction, a Peter could not have preached in the power unless the whole church would not be filled with the Holy Ghost, unless there would be a day of Pentecost, unless the Lord would have come into the redeemed flock, giving the equipping from the equipping with the power from on high. So, all of the church is included into the ministry which has to be done for the perfecting, not only one man, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Then comes verse 13, till we all finally come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. A spiritual growing wants the Lord in His church, in your and in my life. He wants to see it. Then that we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge. Time and again, sadly, it has to be said that the church, yes, the called out church in this time is going into so many different directions. With God, there's only one direction, and this is that according to His precious and holy word. There where His word is revealed by the Holy Spirit, there where there is not a single interpretation, only there. And then in verse 14, the admonition that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. No, in the church of the Lord, no false doctrines, no trickery takes place, but the insight into the plan of salvation of God, the insight into the holy, ever-remaining Word of God. Then in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, who is the head, even Christ. Growing into Him, who is the head. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by, not by a prophet, not by a man of God, from him the Redeemer, the head of the church. Every member which belongs to His body is fitly joined together and compacted. Let us read it again, verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and knit together, both, hallelujah, joined together and being held together by that which every joint supplieth, not by only some joints, but by every joint, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Just very powerful. And we believe that this is taking place now. Not only the calling out, but the preparation and restoration. And as I said last night briefly, if statements of Brother Branham are interpreted in a different way, then we are just asking ourselves the question, why are they not taken back into the scripture? Then there's no need of any interpretation anymore. Then we have the answer in the Holy Scripture. And just as our beloved brother told me last night, He expressed the thought to the believers in Berea. They were searching the scriptures whether the things are so. It's really our duty, our holy duty, to search the Holy Scripture, to compare whether that, what is being taught, whether that, what is made with the statements of Brother Branham, whether this can be found in the Holy Scripture, whether it is written here. And here we have come to the very serious thought, we come to the serious question, whether people are deceiving deliberately. And Paul said it in Romans 16. At the end of his letter, he said it. He showed it to us. Romans chapter 16. Here the man of God writes, verse 17 and 18 in Romans 16, 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. You all know, Paul, he was led by the Holy Spirit. He had to write down what at all times is valid and what at all times must be taken heed to. Not only at that time then, until the end we have that what was written at that time, we have it here before our eyes and we know everything is repeating. In verse 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Beloved, you all know that I'm not here to judge, but God's word speaks out the sentence. And let us say it once again, all the ministries which were set by God are serving for the edifying of the body of Jesus Christ. There's not a single division, not a single split by a ministry which God has set into the church. Every ministry which He gives serves for the edifying of the church until all are coming into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge. And I am convinced that at the end of the day of salvation, not all the various interpretations will take their course, but the Word of God will not return void, but it will accomplish in all to whom it was sent, and those who are hearing it and who believe it and who will get it revealed. Last night, I read some quotations. Let me just read two or three statements from the sermon, recognize the day and its message. And I tell you, as a remark, I say, in all the future, we will not deal with all the problems which are all over, but we will point to what is written. Matthew 25, verse 10. Those who were ready went in to the marriage supper, and the door was closed. And exactly the same way with Revelation 19, verse 7, and his bride has made herself ready. Let us leave everything left and right, and let us walk forward by faith, as one heart and one soul, joined together with God, joined among one another, joined with that what is written. On page 8, Brother Branham says here, on the day of Pentecost, the messengers of the first hour came on the scene with the word, with the gospel, with the truth. And there followed a dark age in which they were hindered. In the midst of the day, Luther, Wesley, and the others came on the scene. And finally, there must be a message at evening time by which we shall receive the same things as those at the beginning. A message at evening time by which we receive the same things as those at the beginning. The message at evening time shall restore the same things and bring everything back into the original condition. That's what's all about today. Not about things left and right, thunders and what have you. It's about the church, that we are coming back to the beginning. And doctrinally, we were brought back to the beginning. This you can all confirm. What we are teaching today is in agreement 100% with what was taught at the beginning. We didn't need to lay a new foundation. The foundation was laid, and Jesus Christ is and remains the foundation upon which the church was grounded and established. But now it must come to the point that the Lord, with his power, comes to his right in our midst and can be manifested. And to this it must be said that both is written. Without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. And in the same way it's written, if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal bodies, then he will quicken them. It must come to the point that the Lord works in his bride in a supernatural way. And here Brother Branham says, he saw the bride in a preview, and at firstly, he saw her perfect. And then came the next section, where he even used the word vulgaire. That's how the bride looked. She looked very bad, which came out of lockstep. And then he saw her again, and behold, she was again in lockstep. And everything was at the end as it was before. You can read it in this sermon, Serie 1, number 1, on pages 8 and 9. And then we see here how Brother Branham continues. Then he said, the bride comes once again in the preview. And then the bride came. She looked like exactly as the first one who passed by at the beginning. And then Brother Ram says, my heart was jumping for joy because I knew that there will be a bride which was dressed in the same way as the one at the beginning. She must be called out. And that's what's all about now. She must be called out now. And she is. She will look like at the end just as she looked like at the beginning. And now Brother Bram says on page 10, he makes the comparison with a tree and with the vineyard and the branches. When this tree brings forth another branch, then it will be as the original fruit, carry the same fruit. Right at the end of the vine, there must be a restoration of all the things. A restoration must come. The evening light to illuminate everything and to put it right. Where is the amen? Where is the amen? You don't need to stand up thanking God. But if something powerful comes, then an amen would really be right. Then Brother Branham says that the denominations were just grafted in, but didn't come out from the original vine. But later on, they were grafted in and they're bearing their own fruits. And then Brother Branham says, at evening time, it will break forth. There will be light at evening time. For ripening, light is necessary. See how perfect the scripture is. It's a day which is not called day or night. Without sun, no fruit can ripen. And then he lines out what will take place. I just read one more passage, maybe two passages. Then Brother Branham says, the bride was in the same condition as at the beginning when she passed by. But I saw that she came out of lockstep, and I tried to bring her back again. Oh, I could tell you many things about it. Many things could be said about the time in which we are living. And then he refers to Hosea, chapter 6, verse 1. Come, let us return to the Lord. Remember, he said that they will be scattered. And that's how it happened. He challenged them to return to the Lord, for he would bind them up. We all know the scripture from the prophet Hosea, chapter 6. After two days, he will bind up. And here it says, He will heal us and he will bind us up. Let us read from page 12. Bottom part. They are in their country. They were scattered. They were blinded. And now they are again gathered. The trumpets are sounding during the sixth seal to call them together. The seventh is the great trumpet, as we lined it out last Sunday. The six trumpets are sounding under the sixth seal. As it was revealed to us at the sixth seal, everything is happening at the same time. This is only for the Jews, while for us, the day of Pentecost, is lasting for 2,000 years already. One more quote. As the preacher of the gospel, I don't see anything what is still left out, only the taking away of the bride. For the bride must be taken away before Israel can recognize what has happened. They were scattered, they were blinded, and they were gathered again. What is left? The bride must be taken away. They had to wait until the bride is gone. Then the prophets from Revelation 11 will call them together for the Feast of the Trumpets. And by this they will recognize what they have done. Take notice, during the sixth seal, the 144,000 will be called. Between the sixth and the seventh trumpet, that is happening, what is written in Revelation 11. It's exactly in line. It is exactly in line with the sixth seal. Thanks be to God for the clarity of the word and for all the setting forth which came from the lips of the man of God. And if we just may emphasize this once again, God has given us, God has given me the respect for his word from the very beginning. I care nothing for it. It was the doing of God. I told it to you before. It's almost a private thing, but I told it to you. At the end of Second World War, in May 1945, when we were fleeing for 10 weeks, we were on the way. My father has called us together. He opened up the Bible and he was reading. And the word really touched our hearts. And since May 1945, I read the Bible daily. In our house, the Bible was on the table, open. It was only taken away when we were eating. And then she was put again onto the table. Just from the very beginning, this connection, the respect before the Word of God. And I'm just so grateful that the Lord, also you, not only me, but to all who hear the Word of God now, have the respect in their hearts to not add anything, to not take away anything, to not interpret anything, But to just believe with all our hearts, as the Scripture has said it. In the book of Acts, chapter 26, Paul pointed to it in the last verses which were written down in the book of Acts. Chapter 26, we can read, and then also chapter 28. In chapter 26, verse 22, Acts 26, verse 22, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Then the book of Acts 28, Acts 28, from verse 26, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive, for the heart of this people is vexed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Here Paul addresses the word to the Jews who missed the day of God's gracious visitation. And he would like to read it precisely. In the New Testament, we have 845 quotations from the Old Testament, and exactly 333 are referring to our Lord and Redeemer. Old and New Testament are in full harmony. And then Paul lines out in Romans chapter 11 that the Jews were just blinded so that our eyes could be opened. And when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and when the rapture will take place, then God will turn again to his people Israel fully. And it's written here in Romans chapter 11, verse 15 and 16. Romans 11, verse 15 and 16, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The vine is holy, and the branches are also holy. And the branches are bearing the fruit of the vine. Let us come briefly back to last night. And let us read to it from Ephesians chapter 5. where it says in verse 27 that the Lord will have a church without spot and without wrinkle, and how a bride is preparing for the wedding day and how she is dressing to be without blemish, to meet the bridegroom without blemish. That's how it is also with the bride of Christ. In verse 27, it says that Ephesians 5, verse 27, that in this way he might present the church to himself, not for somebody else, it's his church, his body. That he might in this way present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that it should be holy and without blemish. Last night, we read it from Leviticus 19, from Leviticus 20, we read it. Ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Then the Lord listed everything what belongs to a life which is holy in the presence of God. And behold, nothing is there which cannot be fulfilled. Everything is very easy to fulfill it if one really wants it and if one received grace from the Lord to receive a new life so that the old man does not continue anymore, but that the new man lives the life of Christ. Let us read. I don't want to get very close to anyone, but let us read what is connected with it. Namely, that the church, in a wonderful beauty, without blemish, without spot, will stand before the Lord. And I tell you why I emphasize this. Sometimes I'm asked the question, it is told, why don't you speak about that, what women should do and so forth? God didn't ordain me for such things. The scripture is very clear. And Brother Branham, at least in every second sermon, he spoke about it, that the sisters should take their place. There's no need for me to say anything about it. But the Word of God gives us an instruction which we cannot overlook. From verse 21, Ephesians 5, from verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. All of us, we are addressed that we keep the unity in the Spirit among one another, that we esteem others higher than ourselves, and that the bond of peace, holding fast to the bond of peace at any cost. Then verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. And here we have a statement, and I think one or the other brother will think now, oh, very nice that this word was not addressed to me. Yes, not so. The brothers, they have to fight with their thoughts. But here it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Yes. Recently, I don't listen much to the news. I don't watch TV at all because I have no time. But one lady in the country, which is well known to all of us since many years, she said, I always wear trousers, not a dress. And she was boasting with it. I'd wear only trousers. And we all know that after the Second World War, we know that something has become different. The home is no more a home. Somehow we all experience it. It's a condition like in Sodom and Gomorrah. Not judging here now, but when people who are responsible, they're boasting with they are homosexual. Before, there was mommy, daddy, there was a family, there was grandpa, grandma, there were grandchildren. Something was still in order at the time. I also remember the time where my mother was washing my father's feet. I know the time where the family was really a family. What is today? Brothers and sisters, also in the earthly realm, in the human realm, everything is no more as it used to be. Not only in the political, in the economy, in all the other realms. Everything is just as it was announced for the end time. A condition like in Sodom and Gomorrah. But here we have the point. He who is really redeemed, he who was crucified with Christ, and who can really say from the bottom of his heart, now I live no more, but Christ lives in me. He can obey everything what is written in the Holy Scripture. And then it says in verse 23, it's almost hurting. But for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of his body. And here we have to take heed that we not just judge the sisters. Perhaps everything has become the way as it is because the husbands have not submitted to Christ. Therefore, the wives also didn't submit to the husbands anymore. Please, not judging generally here. Put your hand onto the chest and say, Lord, how is it with me? Not how is it with my wife? How is it with my husband? How do I stand before you? Where did I fail? Let us say it. Let us emphasize it once again. Only because we as husbands have not submitted to Christ the head, therefore the wives didn't submit to us. So God must help us all, really all, the husbands, the wives, the children, as written here. In chapter 6, ye children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Yes, this is right in the divine order. Brothers and sisters, if we are part of the church, which will appear in wonderful beauty, without spot and without wrinkle, before the Lord, then let every word of God speak to us. Let us submit to every word and let us just say, Dear Lord, Thy will be done, just as You left it to us in Your word. I'm submitting under it by Your grace. Then it continues up to verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and as he gave himself for her. And now it comes in verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Here we have an overall description for brothers, for sisters, for all of us, how we as the church can appear before the Lord without spot and without wrinkle. And then coming back to 1 Peter, just as we read it last night, ye shall be holy, for I am holy. When are we holy? When? If we submit to the will of God, if we live out the word of God, and if we act and walk just as the Lord left it to us in his word, to appear before him without spot and without wrinkle. Then we have all the other scriptures which were given to us along the way. Just from Philippians, chapter 1. Philippians, chapter 1. Here the Apostle Paul writes from verse 9 to 11, Philippians 1, from verse 9 to 11.
So sehe ich es doch der Liebe willen vor.
And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all discernment.
Oh, das war Philemon. Ich wollte eigentlich Philippe aufschlagen.
Philippians.
Philippians. Erstes Kapitel von Vers 9.
Philippians.
Und dahin geht mein
1 verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And if you then take to it Galatians chapter 5, to show us how well God means with us. And because we are still living in the time of grace, the Spirit of God is still at work. And you feel it. It's not coming with a thundering voice, but it's coming here, as we just read about the love. Also a husband cannot tell his wife and say, you must, and speaking with her with a thundering voice. It must be embedded in love. And a wife cannot resist love. Everything must be embedded in the divine love. And here in Galatians chapter 5, it's written from verse 13, Galatians 5, 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And then Paul summarized it in the right way. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then Paul describes the condition among those believers at that time. And I hope that with us it has become better already. Here it says, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. One just has to take heed that the enemy doesn't get any place to attack, that we just resist the accuser of the brethren from the very beginning. Not letting him accuse any brother anymore, but just saying, all right, then let us go now to that brother. All right, then we go now to this sister. Don't listen to any single accusation anymore, but say, whoever speaks to you, say, please stop. We are calling the brother, or we are calling the sister. Just getting correct now in our conduct. Also, one to another. Then it says in verse 16, the spirit is against the flesh, and the flesh is against the spirit. Here one can read it. I read verse 16. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Here the inner fight, the inner battle is described, which we have to go through. And blessed is he who breaks through and who experiences a renewing and a new birth by grace. In verse 18 we read, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And then the works of the flesh are listed. And at the end, I don't know, is it 15 things which are mentioned? One day I counted them. And then it says at the end, from verse 21, that no one who does such things will inherit the kingdom of God. And here's a point which I want to say here clearly today. Brothers and sisters, death or at the rapture, that death will not change anything on our inside. Only the body is changed. Just in the condition we are in the hour of death, just as we are in the hour of the rapture, that's how we will meet the Lord. Just be honest now. Can the Lord take people into heaven who live in fornication, who are doing idolatry, who are making witchcraft, who are envyings, revelings, drunkenness? Here everything is listed. Then it would continue in heaven like this. This is impossible. These things must be put off. There must be a total inner renewing must take place by grace. Let us say it once again. Death didn't change anything yet. Just as the people are going from this earth, that's how they will appear on the other side. And they will be in the paradise or not. In any case, death doesn't change anything. The changing only comes by the dying, by the death of our Lord, who gave his life for us on the cross of Calvary, and has redeemed us from all lawlessness, and has laid into us the grace to live out his will by grace. And after the things are listed of the flesh, it says here from verse 22, it speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. Let us read it before we pray together, asking God that the first condition with all of us has found an end, and that God's grace and God's word and God's Spirit and the blood of the Lamb has accomplished everything to make an end for the first condition, and that the new can come forth in us. From verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Then the accuser of the brethren has no opportunity anymore, because thus it is written, who shall lay a charge against Romans 8? It is Christ who has justified us. Then verse 24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So they were crucified with Christ. And as we mentioned already, then we can say, now I live no longer, but Christ lives in me. Let us summarize of what's all about now. Of course, not about the term message. It's about the calling out of the bride church of Jesus Christ. It's about that we are brought in agreement with God and His Word. It is about that the will of God can happen through the church by His grace. And we all know that the Lord is watching over His word, and that the message is truly reaching the ends of the earth, and that the last ones are being called out. But this is the main thing, so that the bride of the Lamb is washed in the blood of the Lamb, sanctified in the word of truth, to by this be found in the will of God at the return of Jesus Christ. Not in the old condition, where all these things are listed, which are called the works of the flesh, and even envyings and seditions and... Let us read this list. Let us look into the mirror. Let us call the Lord and let us ask Him to work the full redemption in us, to make people out of us who walk in His word and in His will, and by this are being prepared to appear before Him as the church without spot and without wrinkle. The message was sent to us. The restoration we have heard as the message. And now we really expect that it takes place in reality. And as it was said at the beginning, just as the original church was filled with the Holy Ghost and the ministry could be worked out, so it will also happen at the end. By grace, we can become one heart and one soul. And the Holy Spirit will come down, and the place will shake, and God will come to His right with all of us. Now, just briefly, a word addressed to all our brothers and sisters who would like to be baptized. It is written, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. At first, firstly, the Spirit of God comes upon us and we recognize what we are. He who has really experienced a conversion, he had to change his underwear because it was a battle, it was a fight, it was a praying, a supplication until we really get breakthrough, until we found peace with God. Battle that you we recognize that we are lost. We recognize who we are and what we are, and then we pour out our hearts before Him and we ask Him for forgiveness and grace, and then we receive the assurance that He has received and accepted us, that He has forgiven us all our sins, as written in Isaiah 53, that He nailed all our sins to the cross. And then to speak with Paul, the letter of requirements was torn into pieces. God made Him sin who didn't knew sin, so that we are made righteous through Him. Not only justification. As Brother Branham said it clearly, that nothing can be imputed to us, not a single accusation can be made against us. Everything once for all. Never again it will come to the surface. Just a full forgiveness, a perfect grace, a full salvation. And then, if any man be in Christ, he has become a new creature. The old is past. Behold, all things have become new. And as Paul lines out in Ephesians 4, that we put off the old man and that we put on the new man who is created after God's righteousness and holiness. And so we wish all our brothers and sisters who made their decision for the Lord that they receive by faith the assurance that they are forgiven, that they go into the water, making a covenant of good conscience, just as Peter writes. The covenant of a good conscience by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. As he is buried in the water and is taken out again, it shows that the old man was crucified with Christ. He died with Christ, being buried with him into his death and then taken out of the water to live together with him in a new life. God showed it symbolically. And we know here we are in the right way. Here we are in the doctrine of the apostles. Here we are brought back. And the ever faithful God is watching over us. And the last message, please believe me, the last message, as a result, it will bring forth a perfect bride of Christ, which the Lord takes into his glory at the rapture. All the wrinkles, all the spots, everything by the blood of the Lamb will be washed away. And in the word of truth, sanctified and sealed with a spirit of promise unto the day of the return of Jesus Christ our Lord. Once again, the word addressed to all our brothers and sisters, especially those who are newly added, just believe. You don't need any time to think about it. On the day of Pentecost, the Lord added 3,000 souls who were baptized in one single day. 3,000 souls, they had no time at all to think about. They were just repenting, being converted, and then they are baptized, and everything else the Lord did. So, not making promises for the future. No, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Just accept the offer of God of salvation. Consecrate your lives to the Lord. Receive and accept the redemption personally. And then, after this service, we go for baptism and we will rejoice with you that you have consecrated your lives to the Lord. At this place, up to now, we only baptized brothers and sisters who completed their 12th birthday. We just take it from what was written of our Lord. It was written about him at his birth, at the circumcision. And then, when he was 12 years old, he was in the temple and he was speaking with the scribes about the word of God. And that's how we have taken it over, that only from that age on we are baptizing. And especially when young people have already consecrated their lives to the Lord. May this day be a special day. Not only my personal remembrance on the 2nd of April 1962, May Monday morning it was, before the sun has risen, but also memory to that, what God did since that time in you, in many thousands. And as it was said last night about Romania, more than 4,000 brothers and sisters we have in Romania who are all believing the message, who are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Such a blessing. Why such a blessing? Because the brothers, from the very beginning, they were working together, finding, and there was the connection to God and the connection to one another, and they were appreciating one another, esteeming one another. And that's how, why God gave his blessing. Today we'll pray for all of Europe, for all the world, for all the brothers and sisters in all peoples, tongues and nations. We will pray that God makes us a lovely people, not people who know everything better, No, just in the perfect love that the message is being carried in perfect love, not with know-it-all, not with being puffed up, but because of the revelation which God has given us by His grace. And revelation is always connected with reality. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Knowing who Jesus Christ is, namely the Lord of glory, God manifested in the flesh. And so, we are just grateful to God with all our hearts, also for this weekend. Just receive everything in love. And the God of love and the God of grace will work everything in us and in all our brothers and sisters worldwide. He will bring it to pass. And as I said, at the end, the message will have accomplished for what it was sent for. Calling out, separation, preparation, up to the restoration of all things, just as it was at the beginning. To our God, who has looked at us and graciously, be the honor and the praise now and forever. Amen. Let us stand up. Perhaps the two sisters are singing a song. And then all who would like to be baptized, we would like to ask them, while they are singing, that they are coming to the front. Let us sing Just As I Am. Please come to the front, those who would like to be baptized.
Stunde, wenn Gott die Seinen reinholt, hast du vernommen die Kunde, wie er die Seinen belohnt, wenn er erscheint in den Wolken, in Majestät und in Pracht. Ich kann's nicht sagen in Worten, mein Herz es jubelt und wacht. Herrlich auf goldenen Straßen, herrlich im Vaterland, wundervoll sind seine Werke, herrlich im weißen Gewand. Kannst du begreifen die Liebe, die Jesus Christus dir beut? Bist du mit ihm dann im Frieden, wenn Jesus käme noch heut? Er hat die Städte bereitet für die noch wartende Schar. Die immer treu für ihn streiten, es kommt der verheißene Tag. Herrlich auf goldenen Straßen, herrlich im Vaterland, wundervoll sind seine Werke, herrlich im weißen. sein, möchtest du mit in die Heimat, willst Jesus du einmal sehen. Er nur bringt dich in die schöne Stadt, du brauchst nur zu Jesus zu gehen. Herrlich auf goldenen Straßen, herrlich im Vaterland, wundervoll sind seine Werke, herrlich in weißem Gewand. Herrlich auf goldenen Straßen, herrlich im Vaterland, wundervoll sind seine Werke, herrlich im weißem Gewand.
Amen.
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 What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what has not entered into any man's heart, this God prepared for them who love Him. You have consecrated your lives to the Lord, and today you want to make a covenant of a good conscience with God. May the Lord bless you. May He be with you. All of you, you dedicated your lives to the Lord. Very nice. Very nice. The Lord God bless you. Do you all speak German? Yes? And who not? He will then listen to it by the translations. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, you ever faithful God, we are thanking you in particular for all those who are standing here, who have consecrated their lives to you, who are now making a covenant of a good conscience with you. You have redeemed them. You called them to yourself. You have forgiven them. You have accepted them. I thank you with all my heart for it. And I ask you, may they be consecrated to you for time and for eternity. Be with them all the days of their lives. Yes, be with all of us. In Jesus' holy name.
Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
Amen. All of you, especially to all our brothers who are ministering with the word, Brother Daniel, Brother Müller, all the brethren, Brother Gilbert, really, all brothers who are ministering with the word, take special greetings with you. Then we already announced, God willing, in April, we will be in the city of Böblingen on Good Friday, and on Saturday in Salzburg, and on Sunday in Zurich. And then I was asked, in any case, I should say here, that also in Poland, after the Israel trip, we will have two special meetings. After many, many years, in Poland, we had a wonderful start, and then of course came the various interpretations, and they have torn apart the body of the Lord, but God restores all things. Please remember such meetings in a very special way. And then we will also announce all the other meetings which will be in the cities of Europe time and again we will have them, be it in Brussels, be it in Paris, be it in Lyon or Romania, wherever it might be. At the right time, we will announce it. Important is, brothers and sisters, that you also remember me in your prayers. 49 years ago, I was not yet 30, and now I'm almost 80. So, some things have become different now. But the word of the Lord accomplishes for what it was sent for in all who are hearing it and who believe it. And so we ask, take greetings with you to Finland, to Sweden, to the Czech Republic, Slovakia, to Poland, to Romania, to Italy, to Switzerland, France, Belgium. Take greetings to Holland. Take greetings with you, and may all who have joined us today online, may all receive it, may all believe it, may all submit to it and say, Lord, let me be a doer of the word. Let me live out what you have ordained for me. Every brother, every sister, may she or he find her or his place, and may the Lord himself come to his right with all of us. Remember me in this long and troublesome missionary trip in April, and the Lord will bring us together again, and he will bless us together. Time and again we are welcoming you, and we are rejoicing that somehow we have the accommodations, and we just hope that you feel comfortable in these circumstances. The main thing is, of course, the hearing of the word of the last divine message which God has entrusted to us and which we carry unto the ends of the earth. May God really bless all over the world by grace. Now we ask Brother Schmidt, who will do the baptism, that he prays with us. Great God, thank you that your word has not returned void, but Lord in heaven, it accomplishes for what you have sent it for. O God, not only for a testimony, but for the life, your word leads to it. Thank you. Please bless those who are going to be baptized. Bless all who have listened online all over the world and who have the desire to serve you. Lord Jesus, bless all who need prayer. O God, you alone are the one who knows all things. Touch everyone who has need of you, just as you answered him who was sitting by the wayside. Lord, we thank you. We ask you for your blessing. Amen. Let us sing Praise, Honor and Glory. But I was also spoken to whether there is a place left for the Israel trip. There are two places left. If somebody wants to come with, please let us know about it today. The Lord God, may he lift up his countenance over us and give us his peace. Praise, honor, and glory. Let us.
Amen.
Amen.
Sagt ruhig, er hat uns gesegnet.
Just say, he blessed us. And shake hands with one another. The grace of the Lord be with you. We go now for baptism.